Thanks for tuning in to our Centerpoint Church podcast. We hope you'll be challenged and inspired as we unpack God's direction and plan for our lives. Let's join into today's message.
Well, hey, everyone. My name is Scott Krebs, and I am the campus pastor at our Centerpoint Stony Brook campus. And it is so good to be with you as we are in our series, our Christmas series, Wrapped Up. And we've been looking at different things we get wrapped up during the Christmas season. We've talked about materialism. We've talked about tradition. And today I want to talk to you about distractions. Now, Christmas is one of those times where we are easily distracted because there is so much going on. There is so much stuff happening. I mean, think about it. We are all really distracted by the busyness of our lives right now. We've got all kinds of different Christmas events to go to or holiday parties, get-togethers with families. Of course, we are distracted by all the things we need to buy, all those presents we need to buy. Just today, my wife was like, hey, do we need to buy presents for your brother's family? And I'm like, I don't know. Do we buy them presents? I don't remember. I forget every year. And she doesn't remember either. And it's just so distracting. And then if you're like me, I've got four kids and my kids have got Christmas concerts or winter orchestra events, all kinds of stuff. And it is so distracting at Christmas. But here's the thing. It's not like life just now became distracting and just now became busy. This has been kind of the way life is. I mean, there is so much in our lives that is always distracting us. We have our phones that are constantly distracting us, our smart watches that are distracting us. If you work on a computer, you are constantly being interrupted with beeps and buzzes and dings in your Zoom calls, right? Like, it's a distracting time. And what I like to think about is I like to imagine that first Christmas, because on one level, the first Christmas seems so simple, but I bet it was actually pretty distracting. I mean, think about it. Mary and Joseph, they are traveling while Mary is about to deliver a child. Like, that seems extremely distracting. Like, having extremely pregnant Mary about to deliver Jesus, they're traveling not a small distance. They don't have a car. They're going by foot or by donkey. It's a tough journey. That is a recipe for distraction and stress, if I ever heard it. But imagine if Mary and Joseph had our technology today. Imagine if they had our devices. Just think how distracting that first Christmas would have been. I can imagine Joseph on his phone on hotels.com saying, Mary, there is literally nothing available in Bethlehem. I mean, there is literally nothing. There is one guy who's got a stable for $99 a night, but that's it. That's all there is. Meanwhile, Mary, she's got her Apple Watch and it's telling her to take steps and go for a walk. And she's like, I'm having contractions. I can't go for a walk, you know? You got the Grubhub delivery guy being like, I don't know what stable it is. I know it's one of these stables, but I can't tell which one it is. The shepherds, they're watching Netflix. They got their headphones in. They're watching a movie. Angels come. They never see the angels, right? What a mess. What a mess the first Christmas is with our technology. But today we're talking about distractions. We're talking about all the things that compete for our attention, especially at Christmas, but not just at Christmas. And so really what I want to talk about today is how in the midst of a world that is filled with so much that's competing for our attention, so much that can take us off the main focus of what Christmas is all about, how do we set aside those distractions? How do we deal with them? And then not just at Christmas, but the rest of the year, how do we set aside all the things that can get our attention and distract us? And how can we focus on what really matters? Well, in order to figure this out, we are going to look at a passage from the Bible. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And I think this is one of the most helpful passages on dealing with distractions. Now, one of the things that the book of Hebrews does here is it pictures the Christian life like a race, like a running race. And I think it's really helpful to imagine your pursuit of God as a race. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like a race where you're competing against other Christians, where you're like, hey, I'm going to finish ahead of all the other Christians because I'm the best. That's not at all what the Bible is picturing here. What the Bible is picturing here is it's like a race in the sense that it is something that you are devoted to, something you are focused on, something that you are going through, and there is an end goal. You are trying to do your best to finish the race. Now, this race is not a sprint. As we're going to see, it's a marathon. And the older I get, the more I can appreciate the fact that life is definitely a marathon. And so I find the words of Hebrews 12 especially encouraging, and I hope you do today as well. So let's go ahead and read Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I want to read the verses with you, and then I want to just kind of talk about a few of the lessons that we learn here. So here's what the word of the Lord says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So here we see the description of this race. And I want you to imagine this race is, it's not a sprint. It's more like an Olympic marathon, right? I mean, you picture the Olympics, the marathon at the Olympics. You know, you're in a crowd of runners. There's people lining the streets. There's millions watching at home. Bob Costas is doing play-by-play. And then as you are finishing up, you enter into the Olympic stadium, and there are people cheering you on. I think that's a good picture because this passage starts with that interesting phrase that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. This great cloud of witnesses are people of faith, people of God from the past, from history, who have finished their race and who are seeing you in your race and they're cheering you on. This includes people from the Old Testament like Moses and Abraham and Ruth, people from the New Testament, people from throughout church history, Christians you've known in your own life who have passed away and are with Jesus today, and they have finished their race, and they are cheering you on, and they are reminding you and I that they finished their race well with the grace of God, and so you and I can too. But if you want to do that, if you want to live the Christian life well, if you want to run the race of the Christian life well, there's a few things that God's word here tells us we need to do, we need to consider. And the first is this, that we need to put distractions in their place. If you are going to live the Christian life well, if you are going to stay on course, you need to put your distractions in their place. A few years ago, my in-laws, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, they ran the Disney World Marathon, and they were living in Orlando at the time. We happened to be down there, and so we went and we cheered them on, and when the marathon started, it was quite chilly. It's Orlando, so it's a pretty hot place, but it was kind of chilly that morning of the race, and so they started their race with little zip-up jackets on or something like that, but as they were running the marathon, they got hot, and they took off their jackets, and they left it on the side of the road. Just left it right there on the side of the road in Disney World. I guess they expected Mickey to pick it up. I don't know what the plan was. But that's what they did, and that's what many other runners did too. Because if you were running a race, you don't want anything to hold you back. You don't want anything to hinder you. You don't want anything to get in the way. And that's exactly the picture that the Bible is describing here, is showing us here. That when it comes to distractions, we need to do whatever is necessary to make sure that distractions don't pull us away from pursuing God. Look again at one of the phrases here in verse 1. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. This phrase, everything that hinders, refers to the clothes that a runner might take off before a race. So in the ancient world, in the Greek and Roman world, often before a race, a runner would come to the beginning of the race and they'd have a robe on. And so obviously you're not gonna run with a robe on. So they take off their robe and they would run their race. Now, something else about the ancient world is often people would run basically naked, which I do not recommend you do that in your neighborhood, okay? Especially if people know you're part of Centerpoint. We don't want that kind of rep, okay? So please be clothed, but if you're going to run, you don't want a lot of things that are going to hold you back, that are going to get in the way. And the idea here is pretty straightforward, that in the Christian life, there are obstacles that get in the way. There are things that hinder us. There are things that prevent us from really being close to God. And whenever we identify these things, whenever we see these distractions, we need to get rid of them. And we're going to come back to these distractions in just a moment. But there's something else that the author of Hebrews writes about here. And that's the sin that so easily entangles. The word sin refers to something that gets in the way of our relationship with God. Sin is anytime we go our own way, we refuse to go God's way, anytime we deviate from God's path. There's a couple different ways to think about it. But sin, one of the many things it does is it wrecks and messes up our relationship with God. It gets us off course if you think of the Christian life like a race. Now, the word sin, one of the senses of the word sin is the idea of discouragement. And I think that sin really carries this idea of discouragement in this verse. Think about it. If you're running a long race, it is really easy to get discouraged, all right? If you ever go for a long run, and look, a long run, for all of us, it might be a little different. What we constitute a long run? For some of us, a mile, you're like, that is a really long run, okay? And I get it. But however a long run is for you, you know, think about when you're on that long run, how easily it is to be discouraged. I can tell you, if I'm like, let's say I was going to try to run 4 or 5 miles, you know, if I'm on mile number 2 or mile number 3 and I encounter a hill, I'm pretty discouraged at that point, all right? I'm pretty like, I'm bummed out. I'm like, man, I should turn around. I can do 4 miles next week, right? I'm going to end it right here at 3. Because when you're running a long way and you're putting out a lot of effort and a lot of energy, it's so easy to get discouraged. You can think of it like a blister forming on your foot in a race or whatever, any kind of physical endeavor that you might take on. It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get discouraged. And sin is that kind of discouragement. Sin's always going to distract us from following God. Sin's always going to prevent us from growing closer to God. Sin's always going to tempt us to quit the Christian life in moments. And so what do we need to do? We need to throw off our sin. It's why we need to make sure that we don't allow sin to fester in our lives. It's so dangerous because that is, as it says here, something that can entangle or even we could say something that distracts, that sin itself can distract and prevent us from getting closer to God. And so Hebrews 12 says, we need to be mindful of what entangles us, distracts us. And I just want to tease out these distractions a little bit more with you because I've been thinking a lot. I've been talking to kind of all the pastors on staff at Centerpoint. We've been talking about distractions because we all admit we're all distracted, right? We all have these problems. But what are these distractions that can get in the way of our pursuit of God, our relationship with God? Well, there are lots of them. TV, Netflix, YouTube can all be distractions, right? Social media, sports is a distraction for so many people, right? I am sure there are plenty of people right now who are thinking about the football game they're gonna watch as soon as this service is over. And so it can easily be a distraction. Think about the endless emails that you have, late night texts about work, house chores. Right? How many of us are distracted by house chores? Like maybe right now you're looking at, you know, you're watching this on your computer screen or on your TV, but then you see a pile of laundry in the corner and you're like, oh, I really got to get to that. Or house projects. Or as we talked about in week one of the series, the pursuit of money, the pursuit of stuff. What a distraction. The pursuit of status, the pursuit of a promotion at work, the busyness of your family. Worries about your family. I know the temptation to just be worried about your kids in the future or even the present and the things that your children are involved with. Hobbies. The hobbies can get in the way of, can be a distraction, get in the way of our pursuit of God. Just general stresses, anxieties, fears. Now, there's so much, and I'm sure maybe as I've been describing these, you've probably come up with a few more in your mind. I'm sure I could come up with a few more if I think about it. But here's the deal. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not up here saying, well, all television is wrong. all social media is wrong. I'm not telling you to, as of now, give up all these things in your life because you're not going to do that and I'm not going to do that either. That's not the message here. The message here is we need to learn to put our distractions in their place. Now, certainly, if a sin is a distraction, you need to deal with it and you need to get rid of it. And you need to seek God's help and God's grace for forgiveness and to be freed from the shackle of that sin. But so many things like hobbies, you know, entertainment, stuff like this, it's a distraction. And we need to make sure that it occupies the right spot in our lives. So here's a couple questions I want you to ask yourself. Are these activities, these distractions, are they pulling you away from God? I mean, like, it's okay to watch some TV, but like, if you watch TV and you never open your Bible, that's probably a problem at a certain point. That is an unhealthy distraction at a certain point. If you're like, man, I'm gonna open up my phone, I'm gonna read my Bible app, but you can never get off the Facebook app, like that's a bad distraction. That's a problem. We need to deal with it. Are these things, these activities, these thoughts, whatever, are they distracting you from your race with God, your run with God, your relationship with God? Do these things create in you a greater love for God or a greater love for people? And I think that's kind of profound. I didn't like just come up with that on my own, by the way. Like a lot of people, I've heard a lot of great people say that kind of thing to me before, but like things in your life, sometimes we go like, well, is this good or bad? You know, is this appropriate or inappropriate for me as a Christian? Well, maybe, what if you look at things and say, you know, did these help me love God more? Does this help me love other people more? If not, what am I doing? What am I doing with it? Is it an unhealthy distraction? You know, this series is called Wrapped Up. And so there are a lot of distractions we can get wrapped up in, right? Are you wrapped up in your job at the expense of your relationship with God? Are you wrapped up in being entertained and spend less time with the Lord because of it? If so, then I think pretty clearly for you, if that's you in that moment, and that's probably most of us at some moments in our lives, then you need to fight these distractions. That's what I mean by put them in their place. You need to really fight them and deal with them so they don't pull you off your race, pull you away from your race. Right? Sometimes you just need to turn off the TV and talk to God or to your spouse or your kids or a friend, you know, have some human interaction. Sometimes you just need to take a break from your phone. It's so hard. Like I will go through all kinds of things to try to make myself not get on my phone, right? I will hide it in another room. I will, before dinner with my family, I will take my phone and I will hide it under a pile of papers in another room just so I can't even like be around it or think about it. Because if I have my phone in my pocket during dinner, guess what? I'm just distracted. Because either it buzzes or I think it buzzes. You know what I'm talking about. When you think your phone buzzes and it really didn't, but you're like, I think I felt something. Better check it, honey. I'm sorry, you know. You need to take a break from your phone. Refuse to check your email. Sometimes you need to learn how to say, some of us need to learn how to say, no, we're just too busy right now. We're too busy to add one more thing into our schedule. Some of you need to just say, it's okay if the house is a little messy. Isn't because I need more time with the Lord, or we need more time as a family. So there's a lot of ways to, what I would call, put these distractions in their place to make sure they don't take over too much of your life. We need to make sure that we keep the main thing the main thing and get rid of anything that is gonna pull us away from Jesus. But the author of Hebrews also tells us how to run this race and sort of the mindset that we need to have. And I just wanna spend a few moments on this, but it's the second thing that we're told to do in this passage, and it's found in verse 1, and that's keep moving forward with God. Keep moving forward with God. Then not only should we, you know, identify distractions, get rid of them, identify sin, put it off, take it off, you know, ask God for help, for freedom, forgiveness, but we also need to keep moving forward. I was kind of figuring it out this week, and I've been a Christian for over 30 years at this point, which is pretty wild. And I can tell you that the Christian life really feels like a marathon at this point. Like when I was really young, Christian life felt like a sprint. When I was right out of college, I was like, this is a sprint. I'm on fire for Jesus, and I'm gonna run as hard and as fast as I can. And I've learned over the years, it's a bit of a marathon, Scott. Like, take your time, because God's got a lot of work he needs to do in me. But if it's a marathon, I need the encouragement that the Bible gives to keep moving forward. Don't give up. Don't get sidetracked. Keep going with God. The biblical word for this is perseverance. We also find this in verse 1. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You see, perseverance is the ability to hold out and bear up in the face of difficulty. And I want you to understand that the Christian life can be difficult. Some people become Christians because for some reason they think that Christianity is just going to be easy, that Christianity is going to solve all their problems. And here's the deal. Christianity, a real relationship with God, it solves some really big problems in your life. Like it solves the problem of your sin and eternity, that you have forgiveness of sins and eternal life with Jesus Christ when you die. That's a big problem that's solved. You have God's Spirit inside of you. You have the fellowship with the church. These are big problems that are solved through a relationship with God. But just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that everything difficult in your life goes away. In fact, there are a lot of difficulties that pop up for the first time or that you might have to face in a new way since now you're going to honor God with your life. And sometimes in the race that is marked out for us, that is a race that is going to involve struggles and hardships. We all, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, we all struggle with something throughout our lives or a few things at different points in our lives. Some of you, you have to run your race with health issues. Some of you have constant money issues or money problems in your life. Some of you run the race of faith with a spouse. Others of you run the race single. Some of you run the race following Jesus, but your family wants nothing to do with God. And they think you are crazy for following Jesus and believing in him and trusting in him. There are a lot of hardships we have to go through in the Christian life. And so what we need is this God-given gift of perseverance, the ability to keep moving forward, keep striving after God. And I believe that you can run your race well. And I believe that not because you're like a super Christian or anything like that, but because of the goodness of God. That is the race that he has marked out for you. That's why I love that encouragement of that verse. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The idea here is that God himself knows the lives we need to live and to go through. He knows what's to come. He knows our future. And he is going to give us the grace we need to get through it and to go through it and to grow in spite of hardships. And I love that. It's such an encouragement to me. It reminds me of something we read in Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, God's people are scared and grieving and sorrowful, and they don't know where to turn. And God comes to them and offers them encouragement. And he tells them that even when human strength fails, he will be there. It says there in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." See, that's what happens when you run your race with the Lord. He is with you throughout the whole thing, no matter how hard it gets. In 1968, the Olympics were held in Mexico City. And that year, 1968, the Olympic marathon was won by an Ethiopian named Mama Waldi. Mama Waldi won the race, got the gold medal. But what is most remembered about this Olympic marathon is that over an hour after the race was basically finished, and over an hour after the first place winner was all done, right as the last members of the crowd were packing up and starting to leave, all of a sudden there was a commotion around one of the gates into the stadium. People heard police sirens and whistles. And they looked into the gate of the Olympic Stadium, and they saw one lone solitary runner wearing the colors of Tanzania entering into the stadium. And he ran into the stadium, but he was limping. His name was John Stephen Okwari. He was the last man to finish the 1968 Olympics, the Olympic marathon. His leg was bandaged and bloody. He had taken a bad fall early on in the race. Everyone thought he would surely have to quit. He was so injured. But now all he could do was to limp his way through the final lap of the race. And as he made his last lap around the Olympic Stadium, the few crowd that was left, they began cheering for him, and they stood and applauded as he completed his final lap. And finally, after he crossed the finish line, somebody came up to him and said, "You are so badly injured. Why didn't you quit? Why did you keep going?" And he said, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me to finish the race." And I think that's such a great picture of the Christian life, that God has not rescued you from sin and given you a relationship with him just so that you can start it and then kind of burn out. Just so that you can start a relationship with God and then just sort of fizzle out and get distracted and go chase after something else. The same God who saved you from your sins is gonna keep you and hold you close and help you finish your race well. So persevere, keep moving forward with him. And then there's one last point I wanna take away from this passage today. And it's really, I think, the most important point. It's the key to making sure that you and I run our race well. And that's keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. If you wanna know how to succeed in the Christian life, that sounds kind of weird, but like how to run well, how to keep moving forward, really how to limit distraction and more positively, how to grow closer to God, there's only one thing we really need to do, and that's keep our focus on Jesus. This year, this last summer, I got really into paddle boarding. And it was really the first time where I was like really paddle boarding other than like once or twice before in my life. And so one of the things when you are learning how to paddle board, I got a paddle board and I inflated it. I read the little instruction booklet and it said, when you're out there, keep your eyes on the horizon. And so that was the key. They're like, if you don't wanna fall, keep your eyes on the horizon. Like just kind of look straight ahead and you'll be okay. And so I was like, no problem. So I get out there, I'm out there on my paddle board, I'm paddling around, I'm standing up. So I'm feeling pretty cool at this point, I'm not gonna lie. And I'm out there, I'm in the harbor and I'm like, I'm looking at the horizon, I'm not falling. And then I'm like, oh look in the water. And like in the harbor that I like to paddle board in, there's crabs, there's fish, there's like all kinds of interesting stuff all around me. And I'm like looking around, I'm like, what is that? It's like pink and stuff. It's trash, but it looked cool, you know, when I first looked at it. And pretty soon, this happened the first few times. I would get distracted. I would take my eyes off the horizon. And then what happens? I fell in the water. And I had to remember, keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes focused. And really, that's the message here in Hebrews, that when it comes to the race that God has put us on, keep your eyes on Jesus. Verses 2 and 3, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The ultimate encouragement there in verse 2 is to look to Jesus, because he is, first of all, the pioneer of our faith. And that word pioneer is so full of meaning. It means that Jesus is the author of our faith and the champion of our faith and the founder of our faith. He is the first one who has brought us to faith, and he's the one who has made the way to God. He is our pioneer, but he's also the perfecter of our faith. And this too is filled with meaning. It means that Jesus made the way to God possible. You see, the big story, the big message of the Bible is that you and I, we have that sin problem we already talked about, right? We already saw in verse 1 that because of our sin, we are separated from God, but God loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to this earth. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we should, that's awesome, but let's not just stay with baby Jesus, all right? Let's not just love baby Jesus, but let's remember that Jesus grows up and he becomes a man. He lives a sinless life, and he dies on the cross for our sins so that you and I can have forgiveness of sin and eternal life and a relationship with God. And just so we know that's what really happened, Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of God. And so Jesus offers his perfect life and his perfect sacrifice for you and me. And he is the perfecter of our faith. And this is so important, because as humans, we can get the wrong idea about our salvation. We can think that, you know, we save ourselves, we rescue ourselves. You can think, oh, I don't want you to get this message. I don't want you to walk away thinking like, okay, so I just gotta like get rid of distractions, get rid of sin, persevere, keep moving forward, and then I will like be good enough for heaven. I'll be good enough for God if I just do those things. I'll somehow earn my way to salvation. That's not at all what the Bible teaches. What the Bible says is that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the one who saves us, and he can save you right now if you put your trust in him. And salvation is only through him alone. And once you've put your faith in him and trusted in him, well then you can throw off everything that entangles you, everything that distracts you, everything that entices you away from God because of the grace of God in your life. And you can run the race that he's marked out for you. It is through the work of Jesus that we are saved, and it's through nothing else. And Jesus loved you and me so much that it says there in verse 2 that he endured the cross. He scorned its shame. The Bible, in the Jewish world, the worst way to die was to be crucified and hung on a tree. It was considered to be cursed by God. In the Roman world, crucifixion was reserved for the worst criminals. And yet Jesus, he scorned the shame. He basically went through that shame and didn't think it was too much for the joy set before him. The joy of receiving the promises of God, that he is the risen Lord of the universe, that today he sits at the right hand of God the Father, that he died for the sins of the world, and that he is a people purchased through his name. And so Jesus is our Savior. That's why we keep our eyes on him. But Jesus is also our example. He's our example of how he ran this race. That's why we're told in verse 3 to consider him who didn't lose heart, who finished the race. And you too, you can do the same thing too, as you keep your eyes on him. Jesus is so much greater, man. If I could just get my kids to, if I could really just help my kids and really almost every young person here at Centerpoint understand something about Jesus, he is so much greater and so much more interesting and so much more wonderful than any YouTube channel or any celebrity, any influencer, anything that gets our attention. Jesus is so much greater. Let Jesus capture your imagination. Colossians 3:2 says it this way. It says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. How do we do that? Now, there's a lot of ways we could apply that, but just a few quick ways that I want to encourage you to apply that. One is read the Word of God, read the Bible. If you want more of God in your life, less distraction, prioritize the Word of God. You're not going to come up with more time, right? You're not going to find a 25th hour. You're going to have to remove some things from your life in order to make more time to fall in love with Jesus. And that happens through reading the Word of God, praying, talking to him. And so spend more time in the Bible. As we move into next year, we're going to have a lot of ways that we can do that together as a church. Pray, talk to God. The second thing I want you to do is admit when you've blown it. Admit when you've messed up. Admit when you've fallen short. When the Bible says, when you realize you have sin in your life, don't hide it from God. That's what Adam and Eve do. They sin and they try to hide it from God. Well, God knows everything, so that's kind of a waste of time. Instead, admit your sin to him, receive forgiveness, and keep moving forward. Don't settle with where you're at. And the third thing I want you to do is I want to encourage you to spend more time with God's people. You and I, we are not meant to run this race alone. I know it's a marathon, and marathons are not really team events typically, but in this case it is. Because you have a lot of people in Jesus to run the race with. And so I want to encourage you to run the race with God's people. Surround yourself with Christians to encourage you, to support you. If you are part of our online campus, maybe you're not able to come in person right now. That's okay. I'm glad you're here. You can connect with people through our chat. You can connect with life groups. So many of our life groups are online, have an online component to them. And so really, we have no excuse. We can, thanks to the technology that is in the world now, we can connect with fellow believers no matter our circumstances pretty much. And so take that opportunity. Here's the thing. It's a distracting time of year. It just is. I mean, probably a lot of you have got to go from this and run and do things. And I get it. I probably have a lot to do too. I just am not really aware of it right now. But I'm sure there's a list somewhere that I need to do and I need to accomplish. But before we do that, I just want to close with these words. They're the words of a famous hymn, and they have been on my mind since I knew we were going to talk about this topic. And I just want to close with these words. You can think of it as a prayer, as a blessing, as my wish for you. Here are the words. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we have you. Thank you, God, that our life has meaning and purpose in Christ. And thank you that with you, everything is different and everything is new. And thank you that you are transforming us from who we were to who we can be in Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you would help us to identify those things that distract us and pull us away from you. God, I pray that you would free us from those things, Lord. Help us to put them in their place. If they are such a distraction that they're gonna poison us too much in our relationship with you, then God, I pray that you would just help us to remove them completely. And God, give us a greater appetite, a greater love for you. God, help us to set our minds, our hearts, our eyes to you, to the things above, not the things of this world. Help us to focus on Jesus and follow him as he leads us. In his name we pray, amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on social media at Centerpoint NY on Instagram and Centerpoint Church on Facebook. For more information and ways to connect, visit our website at cpchurch.com.